What is up, everybody? Welcome to the Triple H Podcast, Happy Hour Hoops, your one-stop shop for all things NBA playoffs. Jake Mikey here, joined by Steve, some guy's name Steve. How are we doing today, Steve?
Oh, we're doing good, Jake. We're doing good. I'm excited for today. We got a lot of playoff to talk about, a lot of playoff basketball to talk about, but more importantly, Jake, you know, I've been looking forward to this day for a while. Game 5, cool. Mavs, Clippers tonight. Oh, man. It's been a crazy series. And I'll be honest, you know, I thought we were going to have kind of a down, subpar first-round series. I thought, you know, Mavs-Clippers was going to be a good one. There were a couple others I had, like, oh, this will probably be a decent series, and thought the other ones wouldn't be as exciting. I got to say, you know, pretty much every series, obviously you have the – Timberwolves sweeping the Suns, but the games were still fun to watch. I think almost every game so far in these playoff series has been entertaining to some degree or just fun to watch. And like, there's nothing better than playoff basketball. I mean, come on now. Nothing better than playoff basketball. We've had some wild games so far. I can't wait. Tonight's a big, big, big night for me, but also, you know, he's not here. We love Donnie. Hope Donnie feels better. Big night for Donnie too. The C's trying to just get out unscathed against the Heat. No Porzingis tonight, but we'll see. The C's look pretty good in game 4, so I think they close it out tonight. But I'm excited. Really, really fun 2-game slate for me tonight.
Oh, really fun. And last night set the tone. Like, you get the first 4 games and you start, you know, the teams start feeling each other out. And you get some blowouts, you get some games like that. But then you get to game 4, game 5. And it really feels like, okay, these teams have seen enough of each other. You start getting high-level basketball into these series. And last night, we had a couple of game 5s that they delivered. Oh, yeah. And so I'm really excited for tonight based off of that. It feels like that playoff basketball is really heating up because, you know, it's getting tense. And we're seeing, you know, we're seeing big-time players make big-time plays a lot. Another big-time thing you should be doing is playing win streaks right now during the NBA playoffs. Our presenting sponsor, WinStreaks, you just listen, it's simple. It's free to play 100%. You make 5 picks a day, MLB, NBA, NHL, when football's in session, football. Make those picks up to 5 a day, and 100 players win cash prizes every week up to $2,000. The contest starts on Monday, runs all the way through Sunday, and then you get to reset your picks. No deposits ever, 100% free to play. Refer your friends and win an additional 50% of what they win. And Steve, if you use the code HHH,
baby,
you start sign up and you start winning cash prizes today. So yeah, sign up, win streaks. It's been great to me in these NBA playoffs. Had some good hits, had some misses on the NHL. I've been a little bit off on the NHL games, a little bit off. So that's what's hurt me in my win streaks picks. Just messing up which games teams are going to win. I believed a lot in the Jets last night. Yeah. I had a lot riding on the Jets. Figured they're home. They're not going to go down 3.
How about Nashville, too?
Games. Yeah.
Nashville stole one against Vancouver. So
that series, I've been wrong on every single game in that series. I swear, every time I pick Nashville, they lost. I avoided them last night. It's been a fun NHL playoffs, but you can make those picks. Make the NBA picks. This is the perfect time to do it in the first round when there's a lot of picks every time.
We're going to get down to options.
And especially when you can get the higher value on those picks. Like if you can get a 73 on something. Because next round, with some of these matchups, they're going to be close. They're going to be close, except against whoever the Celtics play. But we'll get to that. We'll get to that a little bit later on.
We're gonna have to talk to win streaks too, Jake. Get some WNBA once it starts up.
Yes, that's true.
We're gonna have to see some WNBA on there because I know I'm getting ready for that season too.
It's right around the corner, man. Right around the corner. So you mentioned it in our news and notes, or a little bit to get into our news and notes. Porzingis missing a minimum of several games, according to Woj. Who knows what the fuck that means? No idea. Like, what are we talking about? So he's out. I would guess we wouldn't see him until back half of the second round at the earliest. It's a soleus strain in his calf. You don't want to mess with that, especially with the issues that Porzingis has dealt with in his career, injury issues. So Porzingis out for right now. And Dame Lillard missed last night, got injured in game 4, hurt his Achilles. No Giannis and Dame last night, even though they got the win. We'll talk about that series and that game a little bit later. But, you know, it's crazy because, Steve, a lot of times in the playoffs, it really just comes down to who's the healthiest. I know that people don't like the 82-game season and they think it's too long and everything else, but it kind of makes basketball a war of attrition, much like football is. Like, football is very much like you got to get through the season healthy and then play your best. And that's kind of what the basketball season has turned into. Now, is it the best product for TV? No. But there is something to having these teams be in shape, be ready to go, and be healthy by the end of the year. You look at talking about the New York Knicks right now. Like, obviously, Randle's hurt. Bogdanovich just got hurt. So they're losing some guys. But that's a team who has gone all out all year long. And it looked like it's paid dividends for them until the last 30 seconds of last night. It looked like it was about to pay.
We'll talk about that. But yeah, I mean, they're also playing playoff minutes in the regular season too, right? Yeah. That's one thing. Oh, JBC, you're the real American hero. Appreciate you, JBC. But, you know, they're playing real playoff minutes. And sometimes teams just aren't used to it right now.
Yeah.
You look at the Milwaukee Bucks for an example. It's guys got to step up now. And it's we get that you were only playing 32 minutes. You're playing 42 now. You're playing 10 extra minutes a night, and it can get to some guys. I'll be honest with you. I don't want to see injuries, but I really would love to see Milwaukee steal it in Indiana in game six and force a game seven, because I think if it's a game seven, we'll see how healthy Giannis is by then. You know what? Do or die, game seven in Milwaukee. I could see Giannis making a nice little return. But you're right. You know, it's funny because you don't want to see injuries, and there's obviously a lot of teams that deal with them coming into the playoffs, and you're just going to have to deal with it. But I kind of, too, like to watch some of these teams' guys step up that aren't normally used to getting the type of volume that they usually get, right, because of injuries. It's it's a postseason. You got to step up now. You got to be the guy. For the Milwaukee Bucks, Chris Middleton and Bobby Portis. I know Portis got ejected in game four, had a phenomenal game five, but Chris Middleton's been playing fantastic. And all year, what were we talking about? We were talking about, Chris Middleton down year, just can't really seem to find it, isn't fully healthy. It's you don't have a choice anymore. Yeah. Dame and Giannis are out. You got to be the guy. You look at the New York Knicks. I talked about this a couple weeks ago before the playoffs started. I'm I had Philly in the series because, I don't know if Brunson can handle just how much, volume he's going to get and how he's going to have to carry this team offensively. And he's been doing that. And he's been doing that. I know Anunoby stepped up. Josh Hart stepped up, too. But you just look at some of these teams and how guys have been stepping up. I mean, McDaniels for the Timberwolves was unbelievable in that series against the Suns. So, you know, we talk about the stars all the time, right? You're going to talk about Jokic. You're going to talk about Anthony Edwards. You're going to talk about Luka. You're going to talk about these guys, right? But I think sometimes the secondary guys who have to step up into larger roles that they're not used to, sometimes because of injuries, just sometimes because of game plan or just how the game kind of works out that way. And that's what's been most impressive to me in these playoffs. Is we've just had so many guys step up. And I love to see that. And sometimes, you know, it takes an injury or two to watch a guy emerge. I don't think we'd see Middleton playing like this if Giannis was healthy. So it may help the Bucks in the long run, right? It might help them in the long run. If they can get out of the series against Indiana and Giannis comes back, well, you got a confident Middleton now who just showed that he can carry this team.
Man, how shocked are you by Chris Middleton? We'll get into it a little bit later in the series, but it's shocking.
Stunt.
It's insane. I was
shots he's hitting too.
The overtime game.
Bro.
Insane, bro. I was what is this man on right now?
Almost stole that game. He almost single-handedly stole that game. I mean.
And we'd be talking about a much different series. I mean.
Yes, we would.
If he could pull that off. Yeah, Middleton, you know, a lot of people poured water on him and said he was pretty much toast and done.
We did.
We did, too. I thought he was washed. Thought he was done. Wouldn't touch him. He's come out and played hard. Last night was impressive for them. The only other thing before we get into some of these games, LeBron and KD both eliminated in round one. We posted the picture the other – I don't think we posted it, but I sent it in the group chat the other day. of the Anthony Edwards dunk on KD, the Jamal Murray dunk on LeBron. We talked about it a little bit last week, Steve, when you weren't here, that it felt like this could be the changing of the guard playoffs. And we talked about and kind of talked about it during the year. Now it's official, though. Like, it's going to be – I saw the stat that it's – since 2005, it'll be the first second round without KD, LeBron, or Steph Curry. Like, that's almost 20 years, man. Like, that's what we're talking about here. Is there a chance that one of these guys is on a title team in the next couple years? Like, do you think – now, we're going to have some time for off-season speculation once the season's done, because both of these guys, I think LeBron definitely could be on the move. KD, though, very sneakily could be on the move, too.
I think they both could be on the move. Yeah. And I'll tell you what, Micah, to be honest with you, you know, I don't really care about the super teams or guys playing with their buddies, but I would love to see before their careers over LeBron and KD play together. I would absolutely love it. I don't know how it would be possible. I don't know where it would be, but if we could just find a way to get LeBron and KD on the same team just to end out their careers, it's the two best players we watched in our lifetime, right?
On the same team.
Like, we missed Prime Jordan. We weren't alive for Prime Jordan. Like, this is what we got to see. We grew up with LeBron, KD, and we were, you know, spoiled with 15, with LeBron, 20 years of elite basketball. Obviously, you can throw Steph Curry in there too. I know he came on just a few years later than these two. But, man, dude, I would just love to see LeBron and KD play together. I really would. I mean, we saw KD with Curry, so I wouldn't really care. And I think LeBron with Curry would be cool. But I would love to see LeBron and KD play together. I think LeBron would complement KD so well at this point in their career. And, you know, it might be, like you said, the changing of the guards, the passing of the torch, however you want to word it. But let's give LeBron one more chance at a mini super team. The old guys, right? The old guys. Give him one more chance. The old guys against all this new – I can't say new because they've been in the league 3, 4 years, 5 years now. But all this young talent in the NBA.
Yeah.
Give the guys we watched for 15 years one more run. Oh, hey. And shocking, by the way, Phoenix didn't work out when they didn't have a point guard. Shocking.
Well, that's what I was going to say, KD. Apparently, KD's, according to reporting, KD's biggest complaint was that they didn't have a point guard all year. And the team's
But that's what everyone was saying.
I know.
And they were just like, Bradley Beal's going to play point guard. What? Devin Booker didn't want to step up and play point guard. Like, it just.
Now, Book wanted his numbers, man. He wasn't gonna mess around with that. Yeah, LeBron would be a great point guard for Kevin Durant. Like, that's really what it could come down to. It'd be perfect. I do think if there is a pairing that's most likely, I do think that LeBron going to Golden State is on the table at the very least.
I can now, see it.
As I'm wearing this NBA Finals hat of the Cavs and Warriors, it might be a bigger like twist in the knife to Cavs fans than leaving the Cavs in the first time.
Not at this point in his career.
Because they think he's coming back, bro. Like, Cavs fans are Bron, that he is coming to Cleveland. He would slide right into that starting lineup perfectly. Or, depending on, we'll talk about this Cavs team. They're up in this series, but there could be a lot of shifting around with that team. And maybe he's the guy that comes in for another high price player going out. But I also saw a report today that Bronny is looking at Villanova. And that's spurring some Philly rumors. Philly's got some money to spend. We'll have plenty of time for LeBron speculation later in the year. But LeBron and KD.
We'll have all offseason for it. Don't you worry.
And he will make sure that we are talking about it. That is for sure, bro. But all right, let's get into last night's games, because we've got some exciting games tomorrow. And game six is tomorrow and Friday night. We had a series that it was literally 25 seconds from being done. The Garden was bumping, going crazy. The Sixers and Tyrese Maxey gets them back into that game. That Josh Hart free throw, it's got to be sitting in Knicks fans' head all day long.
But also the fouling on the three.
Yeah.
And maybe this is where I disagree with, you know, how some coaches want to coach defense, but in the NBA. But in my mind, Jake, right? In my mind, I got to assume that you're at least making one of two free throws. I'm not going to assume both, but in the NBA, 98% of guys are shooting over 50% from the line, right? Maybe maybe higher. There's only a few guys sub 50 that shoot free throws consistently. You're up six. Remember, 30 seconds to go. I don't think you have to play that tight on the three-pointer. I know it's like, don't allow any threes, right? No threes. Let them run to the rim. But don't contact the guy on a three, because now you have the pressure where you got to make both. Obviously, the Knicks didn't make both, and the Maxi hits a logo three to force OT, which was crazy. I mean, unreal game by Maxi. Not taking anything away from him, right? He made a 1-3 and a logo three to force overtime. But when you're up six, I'm looking at it as, even if they make a three, you just get the ball in and get fouled. A, you're taking time off the clock, right? And B, you're probably making one or two, so it's a four-point game. It's still a two-possession game at that point. They got to go down the court again, try to score again. No timeouts. It's like so much time's taken off the clock. At that game, it's just a numbers game. You foul on the three there. Now it's a two-point game. Now you're pressured to make both, or it's a one-possession game, and Philly has it right where they want it. So watching that game, and I get the New York Knicks, right? They're as tough and as physical of a team as you're going to find recent memory. But I watch the end of that game over and over again, and I go, that's how the New York Knicks play defense. I guess you don't change it, but, you know, you don't want to give up the three. But once they get the look, it's like, don't try to close out to the point you're fouling.
Yep. Yeah, it was a weird strategy play by them for sure. The shot was amazing though.
Shot was incredible.
Like, to just talk
about shots.
Both shots, yeah. But that, I mean, I, in that moment, watching him pull up from the logo, just being like, man, what? Like, what are you doing right now? But it was clean. Like, the thing is, he knew that that was going to be the cleaner look than trying to get closer to the line and pulling up, because he knew they were like, the defense was going to defend the 3-point line hard.
They could have fouled too.
Yeah.
They could have fouled in that situation. I wouldn't put it past the Knicks to foul there either.
Yeah, it was surprising that they didn't go for that, especially in that
kind. Well, he shot too early. They didn't expect it. I think that's why.
I guess he could have got him. Yeah, you guess if he took two more steps, because there was still some time too. But it was nuts to see. And then that overtime, they really just – it was a great effort by Maxey and Embiid all game. Yeah. And there's a lot of complaints about Embiid. Embiid has been the heel of the playoffs so far. He's definitely playing it up. He's trying to be the villain for New York and everything he's hacking away.
He's doing a great job with Knicks fans. Let me tell you, they hate him right now.
It's so funny because Embiid to New York was like a little bit of a rumor the last couple years and everything. I think Knicks fans would be pissed if Embiid ends up.
They're calling him the dirtiest player in the league. I mean, it's
crazy.
It
also just shows how much they love Brunson too. Like, because it's like, you touch Brunson, you go near him. Nah, like don't touch our guy, and he deserves that. Man,
Brunson's a dog, man. The whole Knicks team is a bunch of dogs. They're tough, man. They're just such a tough team. They don't give up. And I think that's what's so impressive about this Knicks team. And, you know, I picked Philly in the series, and I felt like an idiot right at the start of the series because it felt like I was watching the Knicks Cavs again. And I'm sorry to bring it up in front of you, but to me, it was just like they want it more.
Yeah,
and I think that's what's going to keep the Knicks in every series, especially if they advance against Philly. And if they do, you know, wind up ending, getting through to potentially playing Boston in the Eastern Conference Finals, that's what scares me a little bit of a potential Celtics-Knicks matchup, right? Because we've seen previous past couple of years, the Celtics kind of get caught off guard a little bit in some playoff games because they just either take their foot off the gas, or they just feel like they're a little bit better and they're just not, you know, doing the little things right. That's the one thing the Knicks are the best at in the NBA, is they just want it more. They're always going to crash the glass. They're always going to help out on defense. They're never going to give up easy shots. And even despite losing to Philly the way they did in game five, I think you still have to be impressed with this Knicks team, and you have to consider them not just a threat, you know, to win this series, but to maybe be the one team that can spoil the Celtics NBA Finals run in the East.
Yeah, I'm very much hoping for a Knicks-Celtics conference finals, because even though the Celtics dominated the last couple games, that loss to Miami, and now with the injury to Porzingis, but the loss showed the blueprint for what I feel like the Knicks can do that more. But it was a lot of
shooting. 55% from three.
The shooting, 23
threes.
But they played physical with them too in that game too. They're not the Knicks are never going to shoot like that, but they're going to slow that pace down more than no team is the threes were ridiculous.
And the blueprint is just chuck them up and they all go in. That's what happened that game. And the Celtics still made it somewhat close game too. That's the craziest part.
Yeah.
Any other team, I think the Heat finished with 23 threes or something in that game. Any other team plays the Heat there, they lose by 25.
Yeah. It was
the Celtics are tough no matter what.
The Celtics are going. I mean, and the Celtics, the last two games have been incredibly impressive, man. Like it's just, and it just goes to show like their matchups that they can, the matchup trouble that they can give you on the offensive side of the ball is insane. But it's a physical team. The Knicks can be really physical. Do you think going into game six, do you think that this is going to game seven? Do you think that Philly not really at home? I mean, they've got it was a game four. Even Embiid said so. He's like, I'm disappointed.
Yeah.
How do you think this crowd's going to be like? And what do you expect from game six tomorrow night?
I think the crowd is going to be very strong, Philly, at that point, right? I think this has kind of got them alive back in the series. Obviously, you're going to have very strong Knicks, fan base there, but I think Philly's going to, you're going to tell it's a Philly home game. I kind of see this going seven, Jake, to be honest with you. I think the Knicks are such a good team at bouncing back where I wouldn't be surprised if they won this game. But I think sometimes you have certain wins that kind of give your team new life or a new jolt or spark of energy. That's exactly what you need against the Knicks team. And Tyrese Maxey gave the Philadelphia 76ers that. And not for nothing, we haven't really seen a dominant like Embiid game a couple games. Yeah. Right. He had the monster game, but we haven't we kind of seen a lackluster. I don't want to say lackluster. He had a triple double last game, but he didn't shoot too well. And he really wasn't too aggressive, especially at the end of the game, trying to get to the basket, get to the rim. But I think we could see that. And I think that's going to force it to seven. I'll tell you what, I don't think the Knicks lose this series because there's no way they lose in the Garden. Seven. There's no way, right? No way. Ooh. Not this Knicks team. That would be tough.
It would be a tense game seven. Like, because that's the thing, is that crowd would be teetering back and forth, and you'd get the moments where it's gonna go crazy. But last night it was when Maxey hits that shot, you could hear a pin drop in that place. Like, and that's the amazing thing about the playoffs. You're watching and a team at home hits a big shot and it's crazy and it's pandemonium, but hearing the silence after a big shot is so shocking. Like to see it, you're like, oh,
you can hear the players celebrate when it gets so quiet like that. It's crazy.
It's special, man. It was a special game last night. I'm glad to have been able to. I really wasn't watching a lot of the Cavs second half because I was enamored with Knicks Philly and then going to overtime, and I'm locking into that. But that's going to be my transition into Cleveland going up 3-2 on Orlando last night. Evan Mobley with the play of his career so far with Franz. I really think he let Franz get that little half step on him, be like, oh yeah, you're going to blow by me. Nope. Never mind. I'm going to swat the shit out of you. Gets the key block at the end. The Cavs sneak away with the win. Garland played outstanding yesterday, at least in the first. I mean, he didn't have a lot of scoring later in the game, but 17 points in the first quarter, really setting the tone. Ended up with 23.
He shot well, shot efficient from the floor.
Shot efficiently. Mitchell did not shoot efficiently, but I agree with my friend John Rivers on Twitter. If you follow John, he said in the playoffs, you just chuck it, bro. Like, who cares?
I 100% agree.
Stars chuck.
Your best player should have the most shot attempts, and it's the playoffs. They're going to get double teamed. They're going to get face guarded. It's not going to be easy for them, but I would rather see Mitchell score, 25 points on 9 of 23 shooting, or 28 points on 9 of 23 shooting, right, than 6 of 12 shooting. Right. I feel like that's obvious. So many people are like, oh, just shooting a low percentage. Like, go watch the game. We'll see how the defense treated him. They know it's their best player, but you want your stars to shoot. It's simple. Like, obviously, if it gets to the point where they're not passing into good looks, then sure.
Yeah.
But And that wasn't the case. It's just it's the playoffs. Defense is going to be more intense. They're going to try to take your star away. They're going to face guard him. They're going to call for the double. You want them to shoot. So I don't have anything against that at all.
No, not at all. And 9 of 23, you know, whatever. You take that sometimes. Like, it's really not that. It's not like it was like, if it was 6 of 23, I'd be a little bit more worried. You know, there's a couple shots here or there. You get to 50%. It is what it is. He hasn't had a particularly strong playoffs. Hasn't hit over 30 points yet. But maybe that's what he's saving it up for a big game six. You know, who knows? Evan Mobley last night. Jared Allen doesn't play, rib contusion, out for game five, questionable for game six, which would be a huge loss with the way that Cleveland looked in Orlando in this series so far.
It's been two different series, Cleveland and Orlando.
What can we even take away from this series? Like, last night was the first close game, so maybe these teams have kind of figured each other out a little bit, but I feel like the Allen loss was why it was close. Mm-hmm. A lot of that. The Cavs went four out. They played Okoro in place of Allen, so they're like, we're going to go small. It was tough. They let Banchero. I mean, Banchero had 39. He was amazing. He did everything he wanted. He was hitting everything. He's getting to all his spots. And then we talked about it last week, Orlando being the third best home team in the East. And it really showed in those games against the Cavs. But it wasn't even – the first half was close. Like, first half on Saturday afternoon, the Cavs, Mitchell was playing well. He's getting his shots. They were getting to their spots. They're up seven, I think, going into halftime. I'm feeling good, man. I'm like, all right, we got 60 points in the first half.
Yeah.
Feeling good. You know, like, maybe we're going to go up 3-1, can close this out. And then Orlando just turns into a Terminator mode, and they're just hitting everything.
That was when Franz took over.
Franz takes over. He has, like, I don't even remember what he had, like 18 in the third quarter or something like that. It was a beatdown, and it really, like you said, it's a tale of two series so far, being home and away. And now we look at this game six going back to Orlando, potentially without Jared Allen. And I don't see how the series doesn't go seven games.
I think it's going seven. I think the home team wins every game. It just seems that way. It's just and I will agree. I didn't watch much of game five, I'll be honest, because I had a little rant before we went live here, Jake, on how the Cavs Magic series is that in between NBA TV game the Saturday early afternoon game. I'll be honest with you guys. I'm golfing early Saturday afternoon. I'm golfing. I'm getting home around 3-4, and then I'm watching the rest of the playoff games. I'm missing the Cavs Magic game because they put them on Saturday early afternoon every time. And then it's the in-between NBA TV game. And it's like, all right, I'll switch back to it. But, you know, I'm focused on the TNT games for the most part. But this just seems like, you know, from the games that I've watched, just the highlights I've watched of this series, is that just the home team just has that kind of spark. And last night was the first close game of the four, truly, so far in the series. And like you said, probably the Jared Allen injury plays big into it. It just seems logical. Like, the Magic love the Magic right now, if that makes sense. Like, their fan base has bought fully into this team. They bought fully into Banchero, fully into Wagner. I mean, this is a team the fan base really loves. They love the identity of this team. And like I said, I think the reason this series was going to go seven at the start of the playoffs because these teams play such a similar style of basketball. And when you play a similar style of basketball, right, you're not going to be uncomfortable playing the other team. It's just going to be who's shooting better, who's kind of in rhythm more. And sometimes it's just the home arena gives you that kind of boost. And that's what we've seen so far in this series. And I don't think anything's going to change these next two games.
The only thing that I have hope for going into it, Georges Niang did not play at all last night. Mm-hmm. Coach's decision was horrible. One of the worst shooting performances in a playoff series I've ever seen in my life. Marcus Morris came in, had 12 points off the bench. That's a guy on the road who is not going to be afraid of any kind of moment. That's a grizzled vet right there. Yeah, he is. And he's brought some edge, and that's what they need to go into. Because like we said, the first half's been kind to Cleveland and Orlando. It's really finishing these games out and closing it out. Mm-hmm. And that crowd's going to be hyped up. It's going to be a Friday night game, like maybe back on NBA TV, but
probably
back on NBA. Depending, we'll hope for Dunny's case that the Celtics get this done tonight.
They better get it done,
and we can get an ESPN Friday night game for the Cavs. But Max Strus showing up was a welcome sign. Yeah. He had basically been non-existent in the first couple games. So you saw some encouraging sign from the Cavs bench that game four and game three, there was no sign of life from them at all. So we'll see. It does feel like that classic series. We have those. You have them every couple years where the home team just takes every single game, and then you get to game seven, and you're like, well, we'll see what happens here. And I expect it to be close, though. I don't think the Cavs are going to roll over like they did in the game four after they were up by the lead. Listen, man, there's some tough conversations happening in the Cavs group chats over the weekend. That's for sure. And last night was encouraging, but it's been tough so far. Let's talk. This is a game that was kind of surprising last night, though. Indiana losing to Milwaukee. They're up 3-2 going back to Indiana. I didn't get to see much of this game last night, Steve, but I know that Milwaukee just blew the doors off them. So did you get to watch this game a lot last night?
Yeah, I watched a good bit of it. I actually kind of was looking at the Bucks plus +5 yesterday. I hadn't found a win in a little bit. I was like, you know, I'm going to take the Bucks plus +5. It's just Bobby Portis was tossed early, right, the previous game. He's going to come back. Bobby Portis has been playing great. And Chris Middleton was playing out of his mind in this series. And it was kind of just more of the same there. Milwaukee, like Bobby Portis, 29 points and 10 rebounds, I believe. Middleton had 20. I want to say he had 29 points as well. I mean, it was very impressive for the Bucks. Malik Beasley started cold, but he had a pretty solid second half. Brooke Lopez was playing solid. Just felt like a weird spot for the Bucks there against the Pacers, right? The Pacers win their two games at home. Essentially, they had stolen home court, but they had a chance to gentlemen sweep the Milwaukee Bucks, which was impressive. And you kind of felt like, all right, if Milwaukee can get this one here, maybe the series is back, right? I'm not sure if Dame or Giannis when they're going to play, but it was a nice confidence game for Milwaukee. Everything kind of fell into the way the Milwaukee Bucks win a basketball game. And I had talked about this before the playoffs started, is that Indiana, how do you beat Indiana? You got to slow them down. You can't let them get out and run. And we talked about how Indiana had played Milwaukee 5 times in the regular season, I believe, including the play-in. And they were scored, I think, averaged over like 120 points per game. Well, Milwaukee held them to 92 points, Jake. They held them to 92 points, which that's how you stop Indiana. Pascal Siakam, who was going off at the start of the series, I mean, video game type numbers, they held him to 12 total points. It was kind of old school Bucks in a way, where they won a game on their defense, not necessarily trying to win a track meet. They won on their defense, and it was impressive to see. I think having Bobby Portis, right, back for the entirety of the game was a big, big help for Milwaukee. I think a lot of people just sleep on how impactful of a player Bobby Portis is because he just doesn't start, right? Because you have Brooke there and you have Giannis there. But Bobby Portis, man, is one hell of a basketball
Bobby Portis player. Could be getting paid a hell of a lot more money if he didn't
absolutely
love the Bucks so much.
He could, and maybe this sounds crazy saying it right now, but I think Bobby Portis, if he played starters minutes on a team where he could play, like, you know, 35, 38 minutes a night, I don't see why he couldn't average like 22 and 10.
Oh, I agree.
I don't see why he couldn't, like, as a starter.
If he was on this year's Pistons.
Like a fringe all-star, like as a starter. Like, he could be that type of player. Like, if someone told me, hey, Bobby Portis got traded to so-and-so next year and he averaged 25 points and 12 rebounds a game, I'd be like, I believe it. That's just the way he plays. But Bobby Portis had a great game. I got to apologize about Chris Middleton. And this is kind of what I talked about at the start of the pod, is where I love watching these guys just kind of step up in the playoffs that you don't expect. I did not expect Chris Middleton to do this, Jake. I thought the Bucks were dead in the water without Giannis. And then they lose Dame on top of it. I'm like, all right, well, they're done for. And Chris Middleton, this series is 3-2. He almost willed them to a game 3 win, that overtime game where he made a circus three to force overtime. I mean, it's crazy to me, like, how good Chris Middleton's playing after just kind of watching the regular season and just not looking like himself, not looking fully healthy, not looking like his shot was there. And you talked about it, how maybe sometimes these guys just kind of save it up for the playoffs. That seems to be the case with Middleton, because Middleton right now looks as good as he ever has.
Yeah.
And if you can somehow get through this series in Indiana or get to a spot where Giannis is back and you have that confident Chris Middleton playing the way he is, we're looking at a Bucks team that could make a run again.
Do you think Giannis is going to come back game six or game seven?
I don't think he'll come back game six. If they win and it's 3-3, I don't see how Giannis stays out of a game seven.
That's facts, man.
Right? I don't see how Giannis stays out of that. But I think if Giannis was going to come, it seems stupid, right? Because it's always win or go home. They're down 3-1 in the series. But I think if Giannis was going to come back game six, he would have came back game five. Right? Yeah. Do or die. The Bucks were in a That's do or great. Die spot, and they were confident throwing out the lineup that they had last night of Bobby Portis, Middleton, Patrick Beverley, you know, Brooke Lopez, Connaughton. So I think game seven would probably be the earliest we see Giannis. But also the way like it's been going, I maybe next series if they get there.
Yeah. Well, I wonder, man. It felt like, and Dunny put it in our doc here, did Indiana take the Bucks lightly last night? It kind of felt like it a little bit. It kind of felt like a young team who thought that they could walk into that game.
They got bullied.
Yeah. Yeah, they really did. And that's the way you beat, like, Indiana wants to be up-tempo, fast-paced. If you can drag them down into the mud like that, they're going to struggle. They're going to struggle to execute. That's what it looked like happened last night. So, interesting spot. But the thing is with this series, I guess if Giannis comes back and he's looking healthy, it changes the trajectory of it. Both these teams, I feel like, get smoked by the Knicks if the Knicks make it to the next round. I was ready to pencil the Knicks into the Eastern Conference Finals with 25 seconds left in the game last night.
Yeah,
now we have to consider, you know, a game six and everything else. But it still feels like you said earlier, too. The Knicks feel easily like the second best team in the conference. They've looked like it so far. Mm-hmm. And I think they match up really well with especially with this Indiana team, but Milwaukee team, too.
I think if Giannis does come back, though, I'm not going to count the Bucks out.
No, you can't. If Giannis is back, you can't.
Because then you have, you know, you're probably playing a lot of Bobby Portis and Giannis at the same time. And that is how you match the Knicks' physicality and, you know, aggressiveness on the glass. That's my kind
of series, man. That would be
cool. I would love that. And like I said, I think the key piece comes down to Chris Middleton, man. Maybe he shies away when he's not the guy, but when he's had to be the go-to guy for the Milwaukee Bucks, Jake, he's looked like a superstar.
Yep.
So I'll be honest, the last three games I'm watching Middleton and I'm like, am I going to talk myself into the Bucks right now? Like, am I gonna talk myself into the Bucks?
If Giannis does come back, say he plays in game six and they force a game seven, there's going to be a lot of people throwing money on the Bucks for some Eastern Conference Finals, for some title stuff. Because if Giannis is healthy, like if they've been cautious with him just to get him fully healthy, and he looks like a million bucks, and he's healthier than he's been all year or something like that. Because he's been dinged up a little bit here and there. He's had the knee issue a little bit through the year. The calf issue obviously came up late. They're a scary team. They're a scary team.
Yeah.
They still have Doc Rivers, and so this that's what you got to take into account with everything here. But it's interesting. It's an interesting spot. This Indiana team, you know, you talk about young teams. You can't play with your food, man. You gotta take these teams out when you have the chance. And they did not do that last night. And now they're gonna go back to Indiana, but it's gonna be tense there. At least that game's back there, though. Let's go. I am doing a voice to text in my notes here, trying to keep track of us, and it's typing so much random stuff. Let's go to a team who can't play with their food tonight. We're going to break down some of tonight's games. The Boston Celtics are up 3-1 on the Miami Heat. The Zombie Heat are almost done. You ever seen Zombieland, the movie?
Oh, yeah.
Many times. Great movie. They need to double tap tonight. The double tap needs to happen. You cannot mess around. Do not leave that zombie sitting there. Do not take the chance. Double tapping. No Jaime Jaquez. No Jimmy Butler. There's injuries about. No Terry.
I think they've learned their lesson from previous years, right? I think they've learned their lesson. It's foot on the gas for Boston here. They're also They're also home, which is huge, right? You get nervous if you're a Boston Celtics fan. Game two, the Heat steal game two, and you're like, we lost home court advantage in the series again to the Heat. I mean, that's nightmare flashbacks, right? Yeah. And sometimes it's how you respond, right? Everyone, no one's going to mention like how the Heat beat the Boston Celtics in game two, right? You're just going to, some people are just going to look at the box score like, oh, the Celtics is struggling against the Heat. Heat were 23 of 43 from 3-point range. Like, not many teams are going to come within 10. Not many teams are going to have a chance in the fourth quarter to make it a game to try to beat you when the team's doing that on you. So the Heat were 23 of 43, just an anomaly, especially the way the Heat have been shooting the outside shot this year. So it's always like, okay, like the Heat stole one. They obviously stole one in game two. How do the Boston Celtics respond? And Jake, I mean, this is a different Celtics team. Yeah, you look at how they responded with just crushing the Heat in Miami on back-to-back games. Don't need home court advantage. Is they just take it right back with just, I mean, they beat them by 20, and then I think they beat them by 14. But when you're watching those games, it felt like, right, probably midway through the second quarter, it's like, all right, Celtics are going to win. How much are they going to win by? That's how I felt for both games. And now I know we talked about it. No Porzingis. I don't think it matters. I don't think the Celtics are going to want to go back to Miami. They're just going to want to win this in five. Because also, too, the Celtics, I don't want to ever look ahead in the playoffs, right? But you look at their potential 4-5 matchup, series has a very good chance of going seven. You're going to get a little bit of extra rest. If you can win tonight, who knows? Maybe you'll have Porzingis back by the start of that series. Get a little bit of rest. I don't think they're messing around with the Heat. I think I'm going to keep this short and simple. I just think the Celtics come out here. They get out to a big lead early. They're going to rely on what they've relied on all year long, and that's especially when Porzingis doesn't play, right? You play a little smaller, and you just shoot crazy from the outside. Everyone's taking pretty much eight attempts from three in the starting lineup. I think that's how they're going to play it, and I think they beat the Heat pretty easily tonight. I got to give Miami credit, though, with all the injuries that they had to somehow steal one against this Boston Celtics team that won the Eastern Conference by 15 games. That's impressive in itself, but Celtics know their history with the Heat. I think the second game scared them into flashbacks of this can't happen again. And it's all about how you respond, especially as a team that has a target on its back. That's the top dog that everyone wants to take out. And man, did they respond in game three and four. So I think it's an easy win for the Celtics tonight.
The line's 14 and a half.
Yeah, there you go.
what are you taking there? What are you leaning for? I made my pick first pick of the month here for our DDZ locks, and I did pick the Heat plus 14.
Wow. I see. I'm not a huge spreads in the playoff guy, especially big favorites, for the sole reason of once a game's in control, I feel like sometimes you're just going to kind of see, don't want to risk an injury. Teams will kind of come in backdoor, and I could see the Celtics being up 23-24 going into the fourth and the Heat still covering if the Celtics are like, this game's under control. What I did, Jake, is I took the Celtics money line with another team money line tonight, got a little profit boost on it to get it plus odds, and we're playing that like a straight bet. We're playing that like a straight one.
I wonder what that team is.
Yeah, I wonder. But, yeah, I could see the Celtics winning by 15. I'm never going to tell anyone, especially in the playoffs, like, take the favorite minus 14 and a half. It's the playoffs. They don't care about covering. They just want to win the game. Yeah. I don't care if they win by 10, but I think there will be a point in time where the Celtics are up 20 plus in this game. Maybe first half spread. Actually, if you're going to play it, I don't know what it would be. My guess is it would probably be around like 9.5 would probably be my guess.
8.5, I think it's
8.5, 9.5. Maybe that's how you play it if you want to take Celtics spread. But I think they win the game comfortably.
All right. Well, I do think they win it comfortably. I think they win it by like 12 or something like that. I feel that's what
right
I'm
on the, that's right what near
I'm for, baby. I think that Miami will drag it for a little bit. I think the first quarter will be like a 24 to 20, something like that. Like, we'll have a lower scoring, and then Boston will just, it's too much firepower for this Miami team, especially in their current state right now. And they will pull away. And then, that rest will be huge. Like, if you can get Porzingis back to not miss
Several games.
And maybe he only misses two games in the next series. And the thing about the next series is it's an incredibly favorable matchup for the Celtics, no matter who it's against. Mm-hmm. Either of those teams, the Celtics have to be like looking like food.
I think it could be a sweep.
Think so too, man. Yeah. I think so. Yesterday I was talking about the Cavs game, and I'm like, all right, I got to watch this Cavs game tonight. Talking to my girlfriend, I'm like, listen, I gotta watch this Cavs game. I'm not excited about it. She's like, I don't understand. It's like, why are you even watching? You're not excited. It's like, listen, like, I'm gonna be excited when the game starts, but right now, I really just wish they would put me out of my misery.
Fair enough.
Be done. Because this team is so broken. Like, they just look like a broken team. Orlando, if Orlando was like 3 years older, they'd be done with the Cavs already. I think that's how good Orlando is. But they're just too young to know
anything. They're ahead of schedule, which is a good thing.
And Paolo is incredible, man.
Yeah, he's
incredible. The Boston Orlando or Boston Cleveland would easily be the least fun
NBA TV, baby. Even though they don't need it in the second round.
That's amazing.
Cavs aren't seeing TNT.
And tonight, the main event of the night, the Clippers. Oh. Without Kawhi yet again, but that's been better for them.
Yeah, they're 2-0 without Kawhi. 2-2
with your Dallas Mavericks with a hampered Luka Doncic, who today said he probably wouldn't be playing if it was a regular season with his sprained knee right now. But he's toughing it out. He still was decent the last couple games of the injury, but you can tell he's dragging a little bit.
Yeah, you can tell. I mean, with Luka, like, yeah, he's still going to put up the numbers. He's still going to put up the stats. I mean, it's the shooting that's been really struggling. And the big thing has been his outside shot. And that's been the big thing that has hurt the Mavs, is because a lot of these games, you know, his outside shot, they're team-wide, but mainly Luka has really kind of been hurting the Mavs. But the big thing with the Mavs is just the slow starts. And they almost came back from 31 down. They actually did take the lead at one point in that game, in game four. And it was hilarious because you're watching the game and the commentators are saying the Mavs are down 20 and you hear the crowd chant defense and they're going nuts. Like, this is a 2-point game. But I think, you know, the reason was that because they knew, like, this is the type of team that when they get on a run, they can get on a run. And we just got to kind of will them into it as the crowd. So it's all about the start for the Mavs here. I know they kind of had that 31-point comeback all the way just to blow it at the end because Jason Kidd didn't want to adjust to James Harden going from right to left floater and just having P.J. Washington guard him one-on-one with no help defense, which, whatever, it's fine. I'll take P.J. one-on-one against anyone, but, you know, when the Clippers do the same thing three times in a row, you might want to adjust Jason Kidd.
Yeah, do something.
But it all comes down to Luka's offensive ability and especially the outside shot, because if he doesn't have it, he doesn't really be able to shoot off his knee like he has been because of the injury. That's a big red flag, big concern. Kyrie's been stepping up, but also, too, Kyrie's been kind of disappearing in the first half, and then he blows up in the second half in every game in the series. So we got to have the Mavs get out to a quick start. I'm hoping tonight they rely on Kyrie more in the early game offense than they have in the previous four games so far in this series. I feel oddly good about this game. I don't know what it is. The Clippers have been red hot from three.
Can I tell you why you feel good about this? Because it's James Harden game 5, 6, and 7. We're through the first four games.
Fair enough. No, but the Clippers have been oddly, like, they've been very good from three, especially the corner threes. And that's kind of been killing the Mavs because their threes have been very less than stellar.
Yes.
James Harden's been playing great. Paul George had an unbelievable game four. I feel oddly good about this game. Luka's got the Spider-Man tape job right now on his knee, or at least he had it at practice. We'll see what it looks like come game time. But I just feel like the Mavs overall are the better team, and they honestly could have won both games. They put themselves in a huge hole.
Yep.
And it's like the two games the Mavs lost, they were getting smoked in both of them by 31 points. I think the other game got up to 29 points. I want to say it was the largest deficit. And they still made it at least, you know, a respectable game. They almost came back in game four.
Yeah, they were
controlled. They controlled both of the games. They were home. The game two was a little closer. It kind of took a couple big shots at the end. Luka and Kyrie hit two huge threes in the game two. And then game three, they kind of controlled from start to finish. But I kind of look at this series, I feel like the Mavs have kind of controlled it more. They've just had some abysmal starts and putting themselves in such big holes, it makes it almost impossible to come back from. But they did in game four, and I think that's huge for the confidence that they overcame a 31-point deficit despite losing the game at the end. They showed they can come out of pretty much any hole they put themselves in. And I think the Mavs know that they can win this game in six if it gets back to Dallas. You just got to win tonight, and you'll be able to, I think, control game six and win pretty easily. I'm really hoping that Jason Kidd makes some adjustments, a little help defense. Don't go away from the corners, though. You've given up way too many corner threes, especially the guys like Norman Powell and Terrence Mann. They'll make them. You got to guard them out there. But I feel pretty good about this series. I feel pretty good about what I've seen from the Mavs. They're tougher than previous Mavs teams, and that's a big thing to me. They're playing like a New York Knicks type of toughness team. That's what I've been wanting to see from the Mavs for years. They're finally showing it. Luka's offense, he'll figure it out. The shooting, if he doesn't, we have Kyrie Irving. Give him more of the load. But the one thing I got to say that, you know, not many people are talking about, mainly because it's 2-2 in the series, the Mavs defense itself has been phenomenal. Clippers are making their shots. You know, sometimes you just they'll make the shots. Paul George made an unbelievable three-pointer.
He's been awesome.
In the corner. I mean, you couldn't have played, I think it was Derek Jones Jr., you couldn't have played better defense on him there. He just makes the shot. Like I said, Jason Kidd didn't adjust, but I'll never question PJ Washington one-on-one on defense. Luka's been one of the best on-ball defenders in the entire playoffs out of anyone, despite his injury, which is super impressive in itself. So I just got to get off to a quicker start, ride Kyrie a little more on the offense early on rather than just letting him explode in the third and fourth quarter. How about have him start the game like that?
Yeah.
And then just kind of do what you're doing. The Clippers shouldn't be shooting the way they're shooting from three in game one and four. Trust this team. Trust the team you built around Luka. Trust the team you acquired at the deadline. Trust the guys like Gafford and Washington. They've controlled most of this series. Like I said, just put themselves in some bad holes at the start of game one and game four. But like I said, Jake, I feel oddly good. I feel oddly good about tonight, and I feel oddly good about the Mavs winning the series.
I think you should feel good, honestly. I feel they are the better team on the court, on paper. Like, getting out to the big lead, like, to come back from that lead made it feel like fool's gold a little bit. Mm-hmm. Like that they weren't taking it serious. Like, not that they weren't taking it seriously, but that they were a little lackadaisical, and the shot-making was just, as you said, it's been incredible by the Clippers. Give credit to Ty Lue. He has schemed up some great sets for them. Harden and PG have been amazing, like, as a tandem, especially without Kawhi. Like, Kawhi, when he was on the floor, just he looked slow, man. Like, he was kind of dragging a little bit.
He did not look like himself.
No, not at all. And he was stunting that offense with the way that Harden is – the way that Harden's been orchestrating the offense, honestly, all year, like, as much hate as I give him, as much grief as I give him, all year he's been orchestrating that offense. Yes. He's been a perfect fit for Ty Lue, and he's done it again in this playoff series. But it feels like the Mavs have the better roster. They've got – I would take their two stars, even if Luke is hampered, over the two stars on the other side, especially as we get later into the series.
Yep.
We know – just, I hate to go back to it all the time, but there's a pedigree of it at this point when it comes to, especially when it comes to Luka and Kyrie and what we've seen them do late in series in their history compared to Paul George and James Harden, where you just have to trust this team and trust those guys to go out and make plays. I'm expecting a big game from Luka, even with the hurt knee. I think that he's due for one of those special Luka playoff performances. And tonight is the night that they need it the most. And I'm with you. I feel pretty good about the Mavs going into this game tonight. It doesn't feel like the series should be tied. It feels like they should be up 3-1, regardless of how they went down big in those two games. It just felt like, especially in game four, even when they were starting that comeback, it was like they figured something out.
So close,
and man. It was right there. Just ran out a little bit of gas at the end, just a little bit too much. But I think that that was like the moment, that second half was like, this team knows they can have their way with the Clippers. And it feels like, I honestly feel like they're going to win this in six. I think it's going to be a nice walk away the next two games. And then we get the absolute happy hour hoops matchup of the Mavs and the Thunder for you, Steve.
I know. I know my preseason darlings that now I have to turn against because the Mavs and the Thunder have just became rivals. I shouldn't even say the Mavs and Thunder became rivals. They've always kind of had a little bit of rivalry to them.
Yeah, but some Oklahoma, Texas.
The social media, SGA, Luka rivalry, Thunder-Mavs rivalry has been just out of hand this year. So I'm really, really hoping we get that series. Man. I'm excited to hopefully see what that series would be like, because the Thunder, I know we're not going to talk about them too much today, because what is there to talk about? They just cleaned up against New Orleans. I mean, it was – everyone's like, oh, this is a young team. Are they really playoff ready? Yeah, oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, they are. Just cleaned up against New Orleans. Get the brooms out. A nice, easy sweep there. Now they get their rest, which I'm not thrilled about, but – I need Mavs Thunder, because you know what? If we get Mavs Thunder, that's going to be a great series, Jake, but that's going to be the second best series in the Western.
Yes, it is. All right. Before we go to the West, I have to go run for 2 seconds to go do something. Give me your bet tonight that you were talking about. Give it to the people.
The bet for the people. Uh-oh, we got solo Steve. I told you, I don't like spreads. I don't like spreads when it comes to the playoffs. So I took the Mavs money line. I think they're a 2.5-point favorite. So I took their money line, paired it with the Celtics money line. I had a little boost, boosted it up, got plus odds. If you don't boost it, it's like I was minus 120, I think, which isn't too much juice to, you know, too much juice to lay. But just a simple one, Jake. Just a standard
nice
two-team money line, Celtics, Mavs. They're both winning tonight. Donnie's going to be happy. He's going to feel better when Boston wins at the Garden. It's like, all right, we're on to the next series. Get to rest up for a few days. And I'm going to be happy when the Mavs are up 3-2 going home for a game six. Also, too, you know, a little sprinkle Kyrie points. Just a little sprinkle on the Kyrie points. Because I think Kyrie's going to carry the load tonight. I really do. I hope. Maybe I hope, honestly, I hope I'm wrong, because that means Luka's going to be a little bit healthier with the knee and be able to help up. I like Kyrie tonight.
Well, thank you. That sounds like a good bet to me. Somehow my fridge was open and I heard my cats digging into something.
Oh,
I was like, oh no, what was it? They didn't get in though. Thank God for the Aldi ham bag that was is closed up tight. They were on it though. And I was like, what is that noise in the background? I look around and I just see a cat smacking around some pieces of honey ham, and I'm like, that can't be good. Not good. So thanks for holding it down for a second, Steve. All right, we're gonna finish up here. Denver, Minnesota, the only series we have set right now.
Get your popcorn. Get your popcorn, folks.
I love your Mavs. I love this Oklahoma City team. These two teams feel like the two best teams in the West. And maybe the league right now, honestly, the way that they look.
You're lucky Duddy's not out here today.
I don't care, man. I don't care. The Celtics going up against these. This is a lot for me to say with a Gobert-led, Gobert-Timberwolves team.
Yeah.
The way that Minnesota can defend, I'm scared to see what that. Denver matched up pretty well with them this year. They were some close games and everything. But it's not just Gobert. It's everybody on the floor for Minnesota. The way that they play is so –
Towns is playing defense.
Towns, man. McDaniels is such a monster. Naz Reid. I mean, I love me some Naz Reid, and he's been awesome too. And then you just go to Anthony Edwards, and you see, like, we're seeing the star making.
Yeah.
Like not that he hasn't a star already, but that leap happening in people's minds as the series goes on.
He's making the postseason leap that a guy like that they loved comparing him to Michael Jordan and Kobe Bryant made.
Yeah.
Right.
Oh, yeah.
Where it's like, oh yeah. And I get he hasn't had the regular seasons that they have had to squeeze. He's still super young. He had a very good regular season, right? He's not gonna get credited too much with it because I don't think he'll be first team, and he'll get maybe a couple, you know, MVP votes here and there. He had a great regular season. But, Jake, we're watching him step up to where it's like, okay, the playoffs have started. This is my team. The offense is now going through me. I'm the best player on the court. And I'll tell you what, man, not only is he doing all that, he is playing with confidence that he's that guy. Yep. He is playing with the Mamba mentality, honestly, where this is like one of the first players I feel like in a while when I watch him play and I'm like, he wants to be the villain. He wants to be arrogant. He knows how good he is and he loves it right now. And that is, I'll tell you what, all the old heads that hate these Europeans, right, that want to discredit them every chance they get, they better fall in love with Anthony Edwards because he's doing exactly what they want. I mean, I'm loving watching it. Watching the Timberwolves just obliterate the Suns, embarrass the Suns was so much fun for me.
It was surreal too to see. Like they really just bossed up on them. It was crazy.
It was, and that's the thing. I look at the Timberwolves kind of, and I'm surprised we really didn't all year long, but I look at them kind of like the New York Knicks, just more talented. They play the same style. They play in your face dog mentality. Like they're gonna crash the glass. They're not afraid to get physical on defense. But they're just a little more talented, right? Rudy Gobert is one of the best rim protectors in the NBA. Karl Anthony Towns is playing some really good defense this series. Naz Reid off the bench, fantastic. Jaden McDaniels, one of the most underrated players in the NBA. Then you have Mike Conley. I love Mike Conley. He's another one, I think, one of the most underrated players throughout his career, Conley was. And Anthony Edwards, I mean, you still have Kyle Anderson coming off the bench, too. He's been playing well.
Alexander Walker.
They just all kind of know what the objective is. They just know the style that they're going to play. They're comfortable playing it. They complement each other great. And I think the biggest thing that's helped this Minnesota team is I think Kat has kind of realized I'm number two. I am now. It's not 1A, 1B.
I think he's
it's
happy
not
about
who's
that.
Hot. I think he's happy about it, too, that Anthony Edwards has stepped up, and that's our guy. Yeah. And it has helped this team. It's so funny because we were all so down on them at the start of the year, and I've done a complete 180 where this team just has that type of swag, has that type of confidence, has that type of, like, mentality where I'm like, they're not afraid of anybody. And I think this Minnesota Timberwolves team is thrilled to play Denver.
I think so, too. And, I picked – a Denver-Boston finals before the playoffs. I'm picking Minnesota in this series. I really do. And I love you. I think Jokic is going to have answers. He's going to come up with things for the defense. But the Nuggets, they struggled with the Lakers. Like,
Lakers led 73% of the game.
Exactly, bro. The Lakers were up at halftime every single game. Yeah. Like, the Lakers, that easily could have been a seven-game series. Now, give credit.
Jamal Murray won them two games. And not taking anything away from Jamal Murray, one of the most clutch shooters we've seen in a while. But those shots go the other way, Jake.
Yeah.
We could be having a completely different conversation about this Nuggets-Lakers series.
Yeah, 100%. And that's why, that was not a good Lakers team. Like, it's just not. Like, LeBron and AD were amazing. If AD doesn't get hurt in game five, I think we're talking about a different series. Honestly, I think we're talking about game six.
In the first half.
He was awesome. The offense just disappeared after that injury. I don't know what it was. Looked like a stinger to me or something like that. Like, I don't know what else you could even call it. And everybody's like, oh, it didn't look like he got hit that hard. It's like, all right, bro, these are like 6'8" dudes running into each other. Like, it probably hit him kind of hard. All right, let's not go crazy here. But that Denver team did not look. They don't look like last year's team where it felt like they had answers for everything. It feels like they have their fastball that they can go to. Mm-hmm. And Jokic is obviously what did he have the other night? Like 30, 20, and 9 or something like that. Like, he's going to do that. But
Michael Porter Jr. is playing really well, too.
He's shooting the ball.
That's a big
shooting extra. The hell out of the ball.
Yeah.
Shooting the hell out of the ball. And Murray with that calf strain, I know he played well and it was effective. You don't know how that comes up. I just feel like that the defense of Minnesota and, like you said, that grit and everything that they truly have, it just feels like they match up really, really well with this Denver team. I think it's going seven, though.
I think so, too. I think this goes the distance. I know Denver has been pretty good against Minnesota historically the past couple of years, But classic Clippers fan, Slim Jim Timbits. Can't wait for him to watch James Harden next three games. Yeah, sorry, next two games. But yeah, with Minnesota, it's just like I said, sometimes when you're playing a team as talented as the Nuggets, right, as skilled, we talk about, oh, the Lakers led in 73%, you know, of the series. Michael Porter Jr. was amazing. Aaron Gordon had some really good games. Jokic was Jokic, who, you know, when I say Jokic was Jokic, I'm not discrediting him at all. He was the best player on the court pretty much every game, and that's what Jokic is. He makes it look easy. Jamal Murray, fourth quarter. Who else would you want with the ball in their hands in the fourth quarter at this point than Jamal Murray? So I'm not taking anything away from the Nuggets. I think they still looked super, super impressive against the Lakers. And, you know, not for nothing, it says a lot about a team that can be trailing most of the game and still win every one of those games. Obviously besides the one, but it just feels like with Minnesota that they want this, and that if you're going to be trailing majority of the game against Minnesota, they're not going to let you come back. They're not. And the Nuggets are one of the best fourth quarter teams in the NBA. And you saw it against the Lakers, how they outscored them. And they do it against everyone. They did it all of this year and all of last year, where they just, the fourth quarter just comes and it just looks like they've just exhausted their opponent and they just run away with the game. But I don't want to be down against Minnesota. I don't want Minnesota to get off to an early lead. So I think this is going to be a very tight series. I think it goes the distance, and I wouldn't be surprised if Minnesota won it, but I'm still going to take Denver here, Jake. I'm still going to take Denver. I'm not. I watched those two shots Jamal Murray made, man. It's like this is a hobbled Murray right now, still making these shots. Jokic is putting up video game numbers, and no one's blinking an eye because it's Jokic. And the key to me with the Nuggets' success is Michael Porter Jr. playing well. It's one of his best playoff series I've seen.
Yeah, man.
Against the Lakers. This is one of the best playoff series I've seen from Michael Porter Jr. So all three of those get going, and Aaron Gordon's your fourth best player. You're in a good spot.
You can't go wrong either way, I feel. They're 2-1 favorites, which seemed crazy to me for the series. Yeah. I feel like it should be closer, but that's respect for the champs, and you got to knock them off that pedestal. I'm just really – yeah, man, I don't know. I just – Minnesota, maybe it's more how much respect I had for the Suns all year, and I should just be like, that Suns team really wasn't all that. You know what I mean? Right. But they really did boss up on it, and I see it going seven. I don't know, man. It just feels like they've got that little something that you get from these finals teams. And I'd love the Kevin Garnett Bowl in the finals if that's what we get. If we get a Minnesota boss, what does he do? Like, what does he even – does he just show up to all the home games and cheer for the home team? Like, I don't know what you do if you're Kevin Garnett in that scenario.
What if we somehow got Minnesota and New York Knicks? Old school basketball.
Oh, my God.
It'd be 74-72 in the NBA Finals, and I would absolutely love
every second of it. All right, so before we go, let's run through what we think. Knicks, Philly, who goes?
I got the Knicks. I got the Knicks one in this series.
In six or seven?
Seven in the Garden.
Okay. I got Knicks in seven as well. Cleveland, Orlando.
I got Cleveland in seven.
I also have Cleveland in seven. Boston ending it tonight?
Yeah, easily.
Boston in five. Indiana, I got Indiana in six. I think they take it. It's hard because if Giannis comes back.
I know. It's tough because I don't know if we're going to get that game out of Portis and Middleton again. But if Milwaukee wins six, they'll win in seven. I'll be different than you. I'll go Milwaukee in seven.
All right. And then we both already said Dallas in six.
Yeah, Dallas in six. Slim Jim doesn't agree with us.
Poor Slim Jim. Sorry.
Slim Jim doesn't agree with us. But
we love you, Slim Jim.
But Mavs in six.
All right. That'll do it. Before we go, make sure that you sign up for WinStreaks using promo code HHH, 100% free to play, up to 5 picks per day on all the sports. Get whatever you need. Make your picks. You can win up to $2,000, 100 players each week, win some money. No deposits, 100% free to play. It's a good time. Get your picks. You got 10 minutes. The way TNT and ESPN, you probably got like 20 minutes.
Yeah, you got 25 minutes before tip.
I'm gonna go make my picks. I've been stewing all day thinking about it. So make those picks on win streaks. For Steve, this is Jake. Have a good night, folks. Enjoy the ball, and we'll see you next week.